Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Concerns about overcharging or issues with fares accounted for more than half of all the complaints involving taxis to the National Transport Authority last year. Frustrated customers have called out cabbies' refusal or inability to accept a cashless payment, adding a charge for cashless payment, and the taxi meter not working or not being used in some cases. Other common issues among the 1,712 complaints to the NTA included driver behaviour, inappropriate route selection, and refusal to take short journeys. So we want to hear from you on this afternoon. What's your experience of taxis in Ireland? I went through the report, and I suppose the summary is that the bulk of the complaints is about 54% of the complaints, 940 individual complaints around fares. That's overcharging, meters not working and not being used. And then the second highest kind of bulk of the nature of complaints is around hiring the vehicle. So refusing to take short journeys. And the other things mentioned are refusal to take assistance dogs or wheelchair access, which might be another day's work in terms of an issue there for taxi drivers. But we want to hear from you. We have Philip on the line. Philip, have you experienced issues with taxis in Dublin city centre?
Having me on. So, I've experienced issues for years. I suppose it's no surprise that there is so many complaints. I presume there would be a lot more, I suppose, complaints in if people are active at doing them. But the thing is, you know, a lot of people don't put in complaints. Like, even this weekend, I had an issue trying to get a taxi. They pull in, they have their light on, they say they have a booking. You tell them you don't have a booking, and they say, oh, but where are you going to? And you tell them where you're going, they're like, oh, I have a booking, I can't take you. So that kind of thing just constantly keeps happening, especially on the nighttime, on the weekends. And it's those people, especially on the weekends, they've had a few drinks, you know, they probably forget or are very unlikely to put in a complaint about that situation.
So you're saying you have a booking and then you can't get in touch with them and they're denying the booking. Is that it, Philip?
No, sorry. I'm saying I have no booking.
Right.
They pull in, they say taxi, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, they say they have a booking, and I say, okay, I don't have a booking, so it's okay. And they kind of insist and say, oh, but where are you going? And I'm like, I state where I'm going, and they say, oh, I can't take you because I have a booking.
So you think it's based on the location? They make the decision then?
Yes, that's it. So they're pretending they have a booking so that they can then refuse you. Like, I had an incident there a couple of weeks back where I got into a taxi on a taxi rank, and the taxi man said he couldn't take me to where I was going because he wouldn't have enough battery in his car to get back home, and he didn't want to have to charge his car up.
Wow, this is the electric vehicle situation now. They're worrying about the range.
Well, I suppose, yes, he didn't want to have to charge his car. And when I got into the taxi behind him, the taxi man had asked me, he's like, well, what happened there? And I explained, and he said, oh, yeah, that's the new thing. They're all doing that now. And I suppose it's allowing them to cherry pick where they want to go.
OK, and I wonder, are they allowed to cherry pick where they're taking their next...
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
If you only have to stand on, say, Dame Street, Harcourt Street, and you see them pull in, they pull the window down 2 inches, where are you going? Oh, no, I'm not going there. And they drive off. It's consistent, especially on the weekends in Dublin.
Yeah, and you're seeing it all the time, obviously, that they're picking and choosing their locations. Just to put this into perspective and put a bit of balance on it, 1,712 complaints to the NTA last year. So it was down on the previous year. And that is less than 1%. So the 20 million trips completed in the year, the complaints amount to under 1%. So just to give some perspective on it, I suppose. As you say, there's lots of people who give out but won't make an official complaint as well.
Exactly. And think of all the tourists that use taxis. They don't know what the rules are not going to put in complaints. I'm not sure how much they make up of the share ridership. But you know, there's a lot of complaints that could come from that as well. Like, I've stopped putting in complaints. I'm tired of putting in complaints about taxi people. So I think, you know, there's no, I know the taxi regulator goes out and checks and taxis, but they only do that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. They need to do it on the weekends and weeknights and to have a presence and to be checking these taxi drivers, A, to make sure they're legitimate, and B, to make sure they're doing what they're meant to be. At the end of the day, they are part of the public transport system in Ireland. So, you know, they can't be going by their own rules.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, a random check during peak times, like a Saturday night, would actually be ideal, because that's when you're getting a real sense of taxi behaviour, I suppose.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Like, if I was a taxi driver and, you know, I was trying to get away with something, of course you're going to do it when there's no one there watching or, you know, taking notice of it, because you're not going to get caught.
Yeah, of course. Rebecca joins me on the line. Rebecca, have you had many positive experiences using taxis in Galway?
Hi, yeah, I have had multiple positive experiences actually using taxis in Galway. I'm a student up here, so like most students, I avail of taxi services quite often. And just like a few examples would be in my first year of college, so I'm in my final year now, but like a lot of people, I was struggling a little bit, homesick. And after a night out, I was getting a taxi home. And when the taxi man asked me how I was getting on, I got a little bit upset and was just saying that I was really missing home. And once we got to my accommodation, he said, look, this trip is on me, and made sure I had his number. And it's like, if you're ever stuck anywhere, like, give me a buzz. I'll make sure you get home safe. Or even if you just need a chat, like, I have daughters myself, and I know what it's like to have to move across the country. There's other taxi men up here as well, like one in specific who isn't originally from Ireland and moved over years ago. I've been in his taxi a couple of times now, and not only has he now got fluent English, but he's actually learned Irish because he had children in school who wanted to be able to help with his homework. So every time we're in his taxi, my friends and I get to have a little conversation off Gaeilge. And I think, like, as a young woman in today's society, like, obviously I'm very conscious of feeling safe, making sure that, you know, people are know when I'm getting a taxi or where I am. But I've never felt unsafe in a taxi up here. I've never felt like I was getting scammed or anything like that. If anything, I've felt safe in every taxi ride I've got, which I'm sure is a unique enough experience. But
Rebecca, can I ask you, you know, you've built up relationships with certain taxi drivers that you trust. So are you just ringing them now, or are you just joining taxi ranks and getting the next random driver?
I think I would use the apps now. Like, FreeNow would probably be the most popular one used up here. It's the most convenient. It means that you're not having to kind of wait around. Obviously, on late at night at like peak hours, you do have to go to taxi ranks, but the apps are like brilliant. I've never had a negative experience. It also makes, like Philip was saying before, it makes it a lot easier to leave a comment or kind of rate your drivers. It doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to ring up to make a complaint if you ever did feel uncomfortable. So I think that service is brilliant, but I think it's important, like, not to paint every taxi driver with the same paintbrush, because I've definitely had a lot of positive experiences, and at the end of the day, it's they're not all the same.
Absolutely. And that's wonderful to hear that you have a trust and that you've had all very positive experiences and you feel safe, which is the reason we're getting the taxi in the first place. Ger joins me on the line in Dublin. Ger, you're a taxi driver. What do you think about this conversation?
It's a very good conversation. And, you know, they've got, you made a few valid points there.
Right.
Where are these so-called taxi enforcers? They only work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. All the problems that is out there is the weekend. You know what I mean? The weekends.
And what would you like them to see at the weekends?
Well, just be watching these guys refusing fares, be watching the way they park, you know, just be watching at ranks that they're refusing fares. You know what I mean? They're not out there the weekend. The weekend is the problem. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. And a lot of the cars out there at the moment, taxis, they're all rental. They're all rental. And these guys that rent these cars have no loyalties other than themselves. You know what I mean? They're the guys who drive over you for fair new U-turns and you know, overtaking on the inside, coming down the Salaga Road to get ahead of you. You know what I mean?
Right. So you're saying you're behaving.
Complaints.
Sorry, Jer, go ahead.
I, I'm behaving in an orderly manner, but these guys in these rented cars, you had them out for the weekends, they're the ones who seem to be running riot all over the place, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you think is it a small contingent are giving the rest of you a bad name?
Yes, definitely. And you know what? The amount of complaints that you have this year compared to the millions of taxi trips that were took this year, it's not that bad, really, you know? I mean, I had bad experience with customers in the car, you know what I mean? And who do I complain to? Do I ring the guards? Do I ring the National Transport? There's a fella in the car, he's vomiting, he's eating a kebab, you know what I mean? But, I mean, 99% of the complaints go back to the customer as well, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So some taxi drivers are sorting in the right to refuse the fare, like, you know, filling it in the car with fish and chips and stuff, where I want to get a donut kebab on the way home. You know, all this business, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people
so
think
it's a two-way street.
There's a two-way street. And we're just getting fed up now being blamed all the time, you know what I mean? I mean, I mean, you know, customers, I tell customers, like, you know, come into Dublin, tell them where to go, where to drink, where not to go, Temple Bar. Anyway, we try to be helpful as we are, you know what I mean, as we do. But, you know, it's all a one-way street to complain about tax revenue.
Yeah.
Who do we complain to?
And, Ger, I agree with you.
The bosses should be out there in the daytime. Where do they go off at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ger. I think when you get a good taxi driver, you get a really good taxi driver, and they're also a tour guide, and they get you home or to your location safely and with great humour quite often. And it's wonderful. But of course, like any industry, there's going to be complaints. Jonathan says the problem is nil enforcement. So exactly what you're saying, Ger. Try to complain and nothing is followed up. That's Jonathan, who's a taxi driver in Wexford. Someone else says, as a taxi driver, if you have a booking and miss it, Free Now ban you for 24 hours. Does that make sense to you, Ger?
Listen, I wouldn't use them Free
okay,
Now.
You're
I
not part of
it. No, I haven't rang a taxi in 10 years. I just go and hail a taxi on the main street.
Okay.
I mean, I have my own opinions about Free Now, the way they're charging their customers.
Well, they take their own cut, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They're only here for the short haul. They're not here for the long haul. They're like Uber and like the rest of them. They're here to destroy the taxi business. And that's all they want to have a monopoly, you know?
Yeah, you see, a lot of people find it quite convenient and feel maybe that they're safer doing it like that. John is on the line in Roscommon. John, you're saying it's difficult to even get a taxi in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there'd be very few complaints in Roscommon anyway because there's very few taxis.
You'd just be delighted to get one.
Absolutely delighted. It's a case of now you have to plan how you're going to get home before you go to town, because you will not get a taxi in Roscommon. Absolutely zero chance. They're just not there. And there might be two or three running around, but that's not much good when the pubs turn out and the nightclub and there's 200 or 300 or 400 people standing around and there's 2 or 3 taxis and they're going like 20 minutes out the country on a that's a 40-minute round trip. You know what I mean? So they're out of town for a good while and it just seems like they don't want to work nights because there's too many downsides and not enough upsides. Because as your man said there about, you know, stopping for a kebab or sitting in with a kebab or something like that, they could have a pint glass trying to bring it home with them. You still haven't enough drink at 3:30 in the morning, do you know what I mean? And it's just, you know, you might make a few pounds, but if you forget your child valet the next day, there isn't much point. It's pretty counteractive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. And any taxi drivers in Roscommon are probably going to busier spots, are they? Or working in Dublin, maybe?
No, they're not. They're just not working nights. Because
right.
I tell you why, they have enough to do by day. They're below a Tesco's, bringing Mrs. Jones and Mrs. Murphy home with their shopping. And nice and handy, no hassle. A lot of them are doing blood runs for the hospital. And they're getting big money for that, bringing blood to Dublin mm-hmm. and to Galway and to wherever it's needed.
And we need someone to do that, yeah.
They're getting well paid for that. They don't have to work nights and there's too many downsides. I think that is the reality. There's 3 brothers here in Roscommon. I'm not going to name them. 3 brothers, there are 3 taxi drivers and none of them have done nights, I would say, with the last 5 years.
Well, maybe they don't need to, I suppose, you know. We have the co-founder of Hola Taxis, Lara Kelly, on the line. Lara, tell us, what made you get in touch?
Well, first of all, 1% of complaints for 20,000 whatever rides it is a very, very small figure.
20 million trips.
Yeah. Sorry. my apologies there. I dropped
even better for you.
Yeah. But like, that's a very, very low average. In terms of the NTA, I think they're limited on the resources. And maybe then when you look at it, when that lad there from Roscommon was saying about taxis not working late at night, maybe the enforcers don't want to work at night because of it as well. You know, so we have to take everything into perspective here. In terms of AirApp, Jerry just there was saying about the hidden charges and peak time charges and priority charges and tech charges. That does not exist on Howler. We don't do that. We just charge the meter fare and we're entitled to charge €3 as a pickup, like every taxi across the country.
So that's like a booking fee, is it?
Yeah, yeah. And that's within the legislation, the SOI, within the NTA's legislation on taxis.
And is Hola an app? You'll have to educate me now, Lara. Is Hola an app that I can use to book a taxi?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is. And you can register your card on it, and you can tap and go with it. It's there as a disruptor within the market now.
To the big guys?
For the big guys. Okay. And there's more and more drivers coming onto it because we don't charge 15% to a driver. We only charge €1 per job.
And what areas do you cover, Lar?
We've just gone live in Galway. We're live in Cork, Waterford, Dublin. And as more drivers get in touch with us, we just keep opening up their areas on the app.
Okay, and is there a rating system on the app, Lara? Because I think that's what gives people some peace of mind with the other apps.
Yeah, there is a rating system on it. And it's like, as that girl from Galway said, if she books a taxi, you know exactly who the driver is.
Yeah.
You know the car, you know the registration, you know his license number. Like, all the apps have to, you know, we all have to do that. So that gives the security for people travelling late at night. Now, the first caller there was talking about fellas pulling up and saying, no, I'm not going there. And like, that does happen at night time. But you have to look at the idea as well that some drivers will pull up to see how those guys are, how the girl is. Is she a little bit drunk? Is he a bit drunk? Do we really need his getting into my car? You know, if he soils the car, who do I go to? As Jerry said, who do I complain to? Like, to try and turn around and say to somebody, you're after getting sick in the back of the car there, that's €145.
I know, like, that's a messy situation, isn't it? Can I ask you about one of the elements of the complaints, which does kind of concern me, I suppose, Lar, is the refusal to take assistance dogs or wheelchair access. What's your take on that? Because that must be very upsetting for people.
Well, I can't figure that out because the only way to get a taxi licence now is by having a wheelchair car.
Right, so you have to have it.
All the licences that's coming out now from the NTA and has been for years is wheelchair accessible vehicles. There's no saloon cars.
Right.
Being licensed. You know, it's only the current stock that's there at the present moment in time that renews the licence every year. But anything that's being released by the NTA, it's all wheelchair accessible cars. So you see more and more wheelchair cars on the street than you do actually saloon cars.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so wheelchair access shouldn't be an issue. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense that. And then in terms of guide dogs, like yesterday, strangely enough, I pulled in at Euston and there was a woman standing there with a guide dog. And the guide dog got into the front of the car. Now, I can't turn around and say to her, the dog is after soiling the car with the hairs all over the place. But look, that's part and parcel of it.
Part and parcel, yeah. Yeah. And they're going to be few and far between, I'm sure, aren't they?
Extremely few.
Yeah.
It's not as if every time you pull in at the airport or you pull in at Euston or Conley or you go to pick up a job, that there's a guide dog.
Yeah,
it's very, very rare.
Yeah. Let me just bring in Martin. Martin got in touch about a taxi experience this morning. Are you there, Martin?
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, loud and clear.
Tell us what happened to you.
I booked a taxi last night for a big old...
You booked it via what?
The big old taxi to go to the hospital.
Okay.
and I can see the front door of the hospital from my front door, but I had to go around the side to the eye clinic. And I knew I was going to have to pay a charge, like, you know, a booking charge.
Okay.
So the guy charged me $680, lovely guy. I rang the taxi company again at 9 o'clock when I was finished. And when he got home, it was €9. So, like, I don't know where that difference in charges or the fare went from. He couldn't explain it.
So you noticed that on your phone after the journey?
Yeah, on my phone after the journey, yeah. I just tapped my card.
Okay, and how much would it normally cost? Or is it a journey you wouldn't normally do?
Journey I wouldn't normally take, you know.
Right.
But it took me more than €7, you know, which was the first fare, €680. And then coming home, I just thought, like, it's only a couple of quid, like, but I don't mind. But I just thought I'd have to get in touch with you and tell you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you think you're paying one thing and it's something else. And I suppose as convenient as the apps are, you can get a surprise when you see what you're after paying because you're not handing over the cash physically.
Yeah, I rang the taxi company's office direct. I didn't book through an app.
Okay.
So I was speaking to somebody in the office.
Right.
But if I had my health and my legs of Parkinson's, so... if I was able to walk over, I would have. But I just had to get a cab this morning. It was so early for my legs, you know.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, look, it's a reminder for us all to be wary, isn't it? That the number that goes through on the app might be slightly different to what you expected. Still to come on the show. Thank you to all our callers on that, by the way. We'll keep discussing it. It's an important issue.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.